Now, I'd like to reflect with you on the first reading and the psalm for this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme, if we look closely, the theme of these readings, I think, the first and the gospel, is forbearance, God's mercy, God's forbearance. I think it explains what we're going to see in the gospel readings, the forbearance. No, don't tear up all the weeds. You'll tear up the wheat with it. Wheat. It's that forbearance of the Lord. So the first text is from the Book of Wisdom. The classical kind of translation, there is no God besides you who have the care for all. Now, the most wonderful strikes me anyway, the notion, the Book of Wisdom is written in a whole other level of Greek. Rather, I would say it's like sophisticated American English. It's not like Shakespearean English, you know, like the ancient Greek documents would be. But it's quite sophisticated. And it's a thrill to see that sophistication brought to the service of the Word. There are other passages, especially Isaiah and Jeremiah, which just as literature are masterpieces. This is another world, the Hellenistic pagan world, being brought in to serve in this very sophisticated way. So I'm going to be reading the translation, which is by Professor David Winston. It's in the Anchor Bible. It's not the one we're going to be having on Sunday, which will be from the NAB, to which I will refer as well. I wanted to give you a flavor of this sort of. So it begins. For neither is there any God besides you who cares for all to induce you to demonstrate that your verdict was not unjust. In other words, can anybody come along and force you to defend yourself? No. You're God. See, there is no God beside you who have the care of all that you need show that you have not unjustly condemned. That's the theme of forbearance, you see. And then a very interesting notion. Translated in the NAV, for your might is the source of justice. But being just, you manage all things justly. See, your might is the source of justice. What does that mean? Well, what is justice? Remember, biblically. Justice is honoring the truth of every relationship. So what is the relationship of God to his creatures? He made them. He loves them. He provides food and air and water every day to these creatures, you see? So that his might, you see, is the source of justice. Now, justice means he's honoring the truth of every relationship. It can happen that people reject him, throw all his gifts back in his face, and when they die, they're cut off from him. But that's not the greatest demonstration of his might. It takes nothing. His might is the justice by which he cares for us. That's his might. You see what I mean? How it's sort of, the theme is forbearance, you see? Your mastery over all things, this translation has, see, makes you lenient to all. You see? Or your mastery over all causes you to spare all. Because you are almighty, you can do what you want. Nobody can call a cop and say, make God stop. Because of that sovereign, omnipotent, unstoppable power. He's lenient. He's merciful. You see, how it's important to get to know God. Otherwise, you could start thinking of God as like this huge, who does whatever he wants. Nobody can stop him. His own nature stops him because he is justice. He is righteous. He is just. He is merciful. And so we throw onto him, projection is the word they use, all sorts of attitudes he does not have. And that's what this beautiful text, this Hellenistic text, is telling us, you see? For you show your might when the perfection of your power is disbelieved, and in those who know you, you rebuke temerity. Don't get fresh with God, because he's God. But you see, he's your Father. He cares for you. He created you. And even here, we're in the Old Testament with the Book of Wisdom, this notion, which then explodes when God himself becomes one of us in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, what's there to be afraid of? In fact, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, who often asks these kind of questions in his Summa Theologiae, on the Incarnation says, these kind of questions come, whether it was fitting for God to become incarnate. And then, of course, he answers objections. The objection is, God loses that fear of him, that awe of him, when he becomes incarnate. And so it wasn't fitting for him to become incarnate. St. Thomas answers, as usual, with a distinction. He said, look, to find out whether something is fitting, you have to find out why somebody's doing it. Why is God becoming incarnate? To be loved. To be loved. And therefore to come among us, speak to us, heal us, guide us, instruct us, and ultimately die and rise for us. You see how it takes away any false fear? We're overwhelmed by mercy. And so, you see, it was most fitting that God become incarnate when you look at what his objective was. God's objective is to be loved, not feared. And therefore, it was most fitting that he become incarnate. That sort of insight is already here in the Book of Wisdom, but not, of course, in its fullness yet. Huh? Though you are master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you. God has no problem being powerful. Just get a telescope and try to see as far as you can see. He holds all that in existence by a totally effortless act of the will. He's powerful. And he hid all that power in the humanity of his word and died for us so that the horror of our sin could be atoned for and we could once again look forward to being with him, the Father, forever. So that's why it says, though you are master of might, you see, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. Just think of all the stupid things said about and against God every day. All these absolutely stupid books, the evangelization into paganism, into atheism, all these people writing these books. Just think of it. The publishing, the work, all of this going on, the concerted attempt to do without God. And God lets it go. He could blot them out. I remember somebody telling me they were praying. They were overwhelmed with the suffering in the world, the abuse of the poor and all the rest. And they said to God, look, there's got to be a source of this someplace. Why don't you just blot that out? And God said, you better look out. It might be you. Oh, have mercy, God, have mercy. Of course, you see. That was me, by the way, if you want to know. But I was living alone, and I said, it's looking at all the suffering in the world, and finally, the Lord said, well, why don't you look at yourself? You know, you better look out. You could be the source of it all. Maybe you're more unfaithful to me after all I've done for you than anybody else in the world. Whoop. Okay, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. We'll go back to the old-fashioned prayer. It's better. But this is, you see, the leniency, the long-suffering, the patience of God. And what is that supposed to do? It's supposed to win us over so that we really fall in love with Him. That's why He does it. That's the relationship He wants, you see? And so you taught your people by these deeds that those who are just must be kind. It's not enough. And we have this so many times in the Psalms, right? The just man is the one who gives, who lends without expecting back. That's the righteous man, because he's imitating God, you see? See, so you taught by these deeds of your own, you taught your people that those who are just must be kind. And you gave your children good ground for hope that you would permit repentance for their sins. Just think of it. Who moves us to repentance? We've sinned. We're in trouble. We're stuck in darkness. And if it's a serious sin, we're on our way to hell. Now, who's going to get us out of all of this? The Holy Spirit of God. That's who gets us out of it. Do you see that incessant movement? You know, remember of Francis Thompson's poem? He was a drug addict, and how the Lord pursued him. You know, I fled him down the nights and down the days. You see, I kept running away from him, and he kept coming after me. Till finally, he won me over. Now, you need both. See, God is not a big fat fellow with a bar or the beard. He is the omnipotent, holy creator of all the universe, which he doesn't need. He created out of love to share existence with us. But he's no fool. The way to relate to him is to be overwhelmed by that mercy and just give yourself to him. And know in security that he is your father. Now we know that in a deeper way, because nowadays, since the Lord has died and risen from the dead and poured out the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth the Spirit into our hearts, as says in Galatians, crying, Abba, which is a word of great emotional tenderness. Respect, yes, but tenderness. You see, so the message is the forbearance, the patience, the mercy of God.